Hello, how do you do? This is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week, we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Artists, get on with it.
Welcome to Random Time Radio.
Radio on Radio Corex 95.9 FM.
Welcome to Random Time Radio. In the following minutes, we will hear a piece by Monster Bobby. It's named Batumi and Not Before. Monster Bobby was born 1981 in Brighton, UK. He did Master of Contemporary Music, was part of the band Pipettes, and he write music and about music.
Well, I don't know, for years, I mean, when I was a teenager, I used to play around with like tape four-track machines, and I had like an analog synthesizer that I found secondhand, and I would sort of record things with that and turn the tape over so it went backwards and things. And
what is the fascinating to work with an audio material for you instead of a film or instead of text?
Well, I think I just have a very... I think I kind of think in sound, basically. You know, that's just sort of the way my brain's wired up or something. You know, when I have a memory of something, it's very rarely a memory of... you know, some people really picture things very vividly. Whereas I don't so much picture things, I kind of hear them, you know what I mean? That's like, so I sort of think in sound, so it's quite natural for me to work with sound and take chunks of sound and arrange them in that way, because that's just the way I think.
Any case, this ship stops in Batumi, not before. Now if you'll excuse me, I have work to do. If you close the door as you go out.
How do you arrange these audio piece, and what are the methods you use?
Well, there's a lot of exploring, essentially, either sort of improvising with tools that are somewhat beyond my understanding, I suppose. Like I say, like an input, like a mixing desk without any input, where you plug an output into an input and then another into a thing, and you effectively kind of have this spider's web of cables that are all linked together without anything coming from anywhere else. So the system just feeds back on itself in very unpredictable ways. And I would take samples from that and arrange them as I pleased, using kind of delay units and other kind of software plugins, stutter edits and granular synthesis and things that, and kind of overloading them beyond the point where their results are predictable. But in terms of the structuring of the piece, it was very much guided by the narrative of the film, which I took the samples from. So I kind of started off really by just sort of laying out these four or five, however many it is, bits of dialogue and sound that I took from the film, and then layering up the various materials I'd created in ways that just seemed to fit with the samples and sounded, you know, sounded pleasing to me as a composer. So there's a combination, like I say, of random material and the, you know, this sort of organizing power of the human, I guess, you know.
There's an own rhythm we can find in this piece.
I'm taking samples and I'm organizing pieces. You know, I'm creating rhythms. That's what I do. I mean, like, not everything is completely random about it. The materials to start off with are random, and then I organize them into different rhythms, into different melodies, into different sequences.
What is random exactly? What do you think? Is the whole world a random process, or is the human being exactly the counterpart to random? What is the role of the human in this world where things happen? The sunrise every day, is this a random process, and the birds singing outside and the water falls, and is this random for you, or where do you think can we find random outside?
Well, I mean, in the 19th century, Henri Poincaré said that you know, random is like, it's just a measure of our own ignorance, and in a sense that's quite a good description of my relationship with computers, and in some ways why so much of the music I make seems random to me is because I just don't really understand the tools I'm using to a certain extent. But I think going more than that, like the 20th century, there was a lot of stuff about creating a definition of chance and the random that didn't have anything to do with people, you know, and that's was the job of information theory to a large extent. And people trying to create sort of mathematical and statistical descriptions of what it meant to be random. And in music, it's quite interesting that I think that the random comes into music in many ways as a consequence of the Second World War and research into the nuclear bomb. You know, I mean, it was research at Los Alamos that created this method. It's called Monte Carlo method, where, you know, you're sending essentially random digits into a system and applying certain rules to it. And this was the Monte Carlo method was then used both by people like the Rand Corporation doing war game scenarios and by composers like Lejar and Hiller and so forth to make the very first kind of algorithmic compositions and the first sort of computer music. And at the same time, you know, people like John Cage, who would later go on to work with Hiller, had his encounter with the anechoic chamber, which is another piece of military technology, which encouraged him to think about sounds that were beyond his intention. So in a way, like in the 20th century, the quest to find a definition of random that went beyond the human, just beyond like what is any given person is ignorant of, is very much tied up with military research, and it comes into music via that.
And isn't a human being the kind of negation of a random process, because our being is just because we want, and we want to control, and our living is the kind of plan we are going.
Yes, I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, it's just sort of the idea of a kind of negative entropy, isn't it? That you people organize things with a purpose, and then the universe kind of unravels it into chaos again, you know. Which, in a sense, comes back to Cage in a way, is that he was interested in finding a means of composition that was beyond his own purposive organizing capacity, which is why he looked to random processes and natural processes.
But you see in development and in discussion about this since after the Second World War, you began with this Los Alamos project.
Mm. Yes.
Did I understand you right?
Yeah. I mean, that's like it's with the Stanislav Ulam's research into it. It was about the way neutrons would scatter after a hydrogen bomb explosion, I think, that he developed this method called Monte Carlo method.
Monte Carlo method. Yeah.
Monte Carlo, yeah, like after the casino.
Yeah,
he named it after the casino because it was essentially a kind of using random numbers. And this method was then used by composers and became effectively the basis for most of the kind of algorithmic composition of the late 20th century, I think.
Says Monster Bobby, and in the following minutes we will hear his piece Batumi and Not Before, 13 minutes and 43 seconds.
Waiting to see you.
and Turkish, monsieur. But I understand. You have perhaps had a bad dream.
I haven't had any
bad. I suggest that you lie down in your cabin for a while. And remember, nobody's going to murder you on this ship. There are too many people. In any case, this ship stops in Batumi, may not before. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have work to do. If you close the door as you go out.
Boom, boom. Ha!
Thank you.
too. I'm almost deafening. I'm scared.
This was a piece called Batumi and Not Before by Monster Bobby. You're listening to Random Time Radio, and some more words with Monster Bobby about an charming idea to be a composer and to create something just for your own when it's never been found. What it's exactly about in the next few seconds. You describe on your blog an idea about this method to bury in classical piece of music someone created by his own. And it's really, like I wrote in my email, a charming idea, I think. And can you drop some words about this?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I've been writing these little sort of text-based scores for a few years now, writing a few every year, and some of them I'll put on my blog, and some of them I'll just sort of keep in a file on my computer. And I've got quite a few of them now, but this one was one I wrote last year. And the idea was that you would write a piece of music, and you would record it in some way, either on a piece of paper or on tape or hard drive or whatever. But you wouldn't play it to anyone else. And you would, instead, you would bury it under the ground and leave it there. And then in your will, you would leave instructions for your next of kin to dig it up and play it without attempting in any way to restore it. So over the years between your initial writing of this piece of music and it being dug up and performed, presumably many years later, there's been this random process of attrition applied to whether it was a paper score or a vinyl record.
And did you actually did this?
No. No. I mean, with all these text scores, very few of them I've actually made any attempt to perform, as it were. You know, it's They're almost just sort of conceptual ideas I just sort of want to throw out there, you know. And if someone else performs, then great. Or maybe one day I will. But at the moment, mostly not, no.
We will hear another short piece by Monster Bobby. It's named School Bell Paris 13. And the description he wrote is that he was in a given location in the 13th district of Paris between a church and a school, and then isolate whatever seemed to be the most musical elements in the recording and manipulate them into something that sounded like music. In the next few minutes, few seconds, from Monster Bobby, School Bell Paris 13.
a show from radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.